Christmas and greetings to each of you in the name of the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's truly a blessing to be here this morning again. I don't think Chad and I are into setting records, but I think we set one that we don't want to repeat too often, and that is not being together here for a month? I'm not sure. But it's very good. It's good to be here and gather together with the brothers and sisters at Kirkwood. Just read recently that each day has 86,400 seconds in it. That seems like a lot, in a sense. What are you doing with those seconds? What I want to talk about this morning is maybe I'll ask it in a question form. What are we constantly involved in every moment we are awake? What are you constantly involved in every moment you are awake? Eating? No, hopefully not. Sleeping? Again, no. Working? Well, no. Praying? Maybe it's praying. Well, the Bible does say we're supposed to pray without ceasing. But what I have in mind this morning is being a Christian. Being a Christian. You know, there's no such thing as a private Christian. There's no such thing as a Christian who compartmentalizes his Christianity into a corner and the rest of his life is something else. That's not a Christian. We all agree with that? I have a very simple message this morning. And I don't know if it makes it harder or not for me, because sometimes I like to get into theology. And I don't think I'm the only one here. I like to focus on the hard questions of life, try to dissect it and take it apart. My question is this morning, do we really know what it means to be a Christian? As I said, it's something that to a true Christian, it's something that involves every second, minute, second of our waking moments. Maybe even sometimes when we're sleeping. Because sometimes I wake up in the night, I'm not sure if I'm awake or not, but something's on my mind, and I think you can identify with this, and your mind goes into prayer. Am I sleeping or awake? Sometimes I'm not sure. The title of the message is What It Means to Be a Christian. What it means to be a Christian. Do you know what it means this morning to be a Christian? Maybe this question is so obvious sometimes that we miss it. I'm not sure if that makes sense. Or maybe we take it for granted and we fail to look at the big picture. Or we fail to look at the whole concept of why I'm here. What is a Christian? Well, it's a little Christ. It's a little Christ. Christian is simply a follower of Jesus Christ. And we could focus on the salvation. Sometimes we call it an experience. I'm not sure if I quite like that. But a follower of Jesus Christ gives the impression of a daily, hourly, minute by minute, second by second walk with Jesus Christ. John chapter 3 is the account of Nicodemus. And you can turn to there if you care to. I'm not sure if I'm going to read much out of that. But to me, this John chapter 3 is an explanation of what it means to be a Christian. Jesus said in verse 3, and we know what this is. This is a story of Nicodemus who came to Jesus at night. He said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." I don't know what you would have answered if you were a teacher and someone would come to you with that question. "Well, yeah, we can really get some things done, and church building is great." And Jesus went right, he said in verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus did not lift up himself. He just said, "You must be born again." And that's what a Christian is. A Christian is a born-again believer. And then Jesus goes on to explain to this how to Nicodemus, which verse is that? Where verse 10, Jesus said, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things?" It seems Jesus was incredulous that this man did not know. Because of his question in verse 4, "How can a man be born when he is old?" And then Jesus goes on and explains how this works. But I also want to focus, I want to draw your attention to verse 21. "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest." I don't know what Nicodemus did with this information. It seems like he was, later on scriptures say that he had part with the body of Christ after he was crucified. So it seems like he allowed the truth and the light to come into his life, and he became a follower of Jesus. He became a Christian. "But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light." It indicates a process. What it means to be a Christian this morning is not just the initial experience of choosing Christ, of becoming a Christian, of being born again in that initial experience, but it's a walking with Christ. I have 10 points, and there could be many more of this, but I want to keep it simple. I have 10 things, and every point starts with "it means." The question is what it means to be a Christian. Well, that's not really a question. It's more of a statement, what it means to be a Christian. Then I have 10 points. Number one, it means that I recognize that without Christ, I am a sinner without hope. I am a sinner without hope. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We're all sinners this morning. There's no righteousness to be found in any one of us, in ourselves, without Christ. Romans 5, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And that's talking about Adam. By one man, that's by one man's sin, Adam's sin. By that one sin, death and sin entered the world. And it passes to all men. And it's passed to each one of you this morning that is listening and understanding to what's being said. Number two, it means that Jesus loves me and shed his blood for me. Very simple. Your Bibles are still open to John chapter 3. Verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Jesus loves me. That's tremendous this morning. But yet it's simple. It's simple to understand that being a Christian and what it means to be a Christian is not something that is difficult. It's not something that the scholars look at this man, Nicodemus, he was a ruler of the Jews, but yet he couldn't understand this simple thing. He did not have. He could not put that together. But it means that Jesus loves me and shed his blood for me. This is the only way to be a Christian, to allow the blood of Jesus Christ to be shed abroad in our hearts, to allow Jesus to come into our lives and to allow him, his blood, to cleanse us. It's the only way to deal with the sin problem. There's no other shortcut. There's no other, if this doesn't work, well, you can try something else. I think about this a lot in the work that I do. Being in the northern part of the country, we deal with something called rust. A couple weeks ago, I was working on a vehicle and took a light off of the roof, and there was rust there, major rust. And the question is, how do I deal with that? Well, okay. You can sand it really hard and you get some of the rust. You can wire brush it and you get a little bit more. I know I'm talking something that some of you don't understand, but you can wire brush it and you can get a little bit more, but the only way to 100%, there's only one way that I know of to 100% get rid of rust, is to sandblast it. That will completely destroy it. You can put some additives on that neutralizes it, supposedly. And so it was difficult, but you had to get the sandblaster out and you had to just get it down, get all the rust out. And that's what the blood of Jesus Christ does. And it's the only thing that removes that sin problem. There's no other way. Number three, it means what I am in Christ is all of him and none of me. Paul said somewhere that he must increase, but I must decrease. And maybe I'm alone. Oh, I know I'm not alone, but we all need to decrease. We all have to deal with this pride issue, and Brother Gary appreciated his thoughts in the devotional. Tied very closely to what we're talking about this morning. Paul said also in Galatians 6, verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." It's all of him and none of me. We cannot this morning do anything about our sin problem. We cannot make ourselves a Christian. It's all of Christ and none of me. Christians are not perfect people. I think we know that. But
we don't want to excuse our imperfections either. We don't want to give ourselves room to make mistakes. But Christians are not perfect people. But because of Christ this morning, imperfect people are made righteous. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to look at one verse here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Let's go through this verse, and I'm going to add a couple for clarification. There's a lot of pronouns in here. So I'm going to add the proper noun, or the proper, yeah, the noun to the pronoun. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin, or a sin offering for us. Who knew, talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus' blood was shed. Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, that sacrifice was made for us. He was sinless. He knew no sin. So that we, imperfect, needy people, might be made righteous. That's why the glory does not go to us. God receives the glory. It's his righteousness that is expressed in our lives. Does my life show that this morning? Is my life just radiating myself? Or is it radiating the Lord Jesus? Just leave you with that question. I'll leave you to analyze your life, to think about who you are, to think about your responses to the difficulties of life, to think about your responses to your brother and sister. Does my life show that Christ is all in all to me, and that myself is not showing? Number four, it means I have a story that I love to tell and a song I love to sing. Those are, we sing those songs sometimes. The song says, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his righteousness, or something like that. It goes on to say, what is your story this morning? Do you have one? What is your song that you love to sing? Do you have one? I have a song I love to sing since I have been redeemed, of my Redeemer, Savior, King, since I have been redeemed. I have a Christ that satisfies since I have been redeemed, to do his will my highest praise since I have been redeemed. I have a witness bright and clear since I have been redeemed, dispelling every doubt and fear since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in his name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in the Savior's name. What is your song this morning? And I don't mean necessarily that we have to have a dramatic story like Will Taylor's, like Brother Will. I really appreciated hearing his life story. And none of us have a story like that. And none of us should, because we're different. Brother Will's story is his story. But do you have a story? And again, I'm not talking, but who's this story about? Notice, go back to this song again. I'm not sure if it's in the books. Looks like Brother Gary has his open. 657, if you want to open it. I have a song I love to sing. But the writer goes on, he doesn't talk about his own story. See? I have a Christ that satisfies since I have been redeemed to do his will, my highest prize. This song I love to sing is of my Redeemer, Savior King. It's not us. It's not ourselves. Yes, we do need a story of deliverance also. There needs to be, for a Christian, the old things have been passed away and all things are become new. That is part of what being a Christian is. And there need, so that does need to be a part of the story. But it's not our own pulling on our own bootstraps that can make that happen, is it? It can't. It's because of my Redeemer, Savior, King. So that's why we glory in the Savior's name, because it's not ourselves. Turn to Mark chapter 5. I see I'm going to have to abbreviate some things. I was going to read this whole account, but I guess I won't do that. Mark 5 is the account of the man that was bound with chains. No, he wasn't bound. They tried to bind him, but he would break him. And he was crying among the tombs. He lived among the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. We know how Jesus came, and these demons that were in him went into the swine, and I can't explain to you this story. I can't explain to you, and this is typical of Christ working in a person's life. I cannot explain to you how it works. I can't explain to you that power of a changed life. But what we can understand and what we can grasp this morning is verse 19. Or verse 18, after he was released from these demons in this bondage, and when he was come into the ship, and he had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. In other words, the man said, Jesus, I want to stay with you. I want to be with you and just enjoy this freedom. I'm using my own words there. But Jesus said, verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Verse 20, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. That's a tremendous verse. He had a song to sing and a story to tell, and he told it. Now, I'm not saying we need to be dramatic. Maybe in a sense that this was. I'm not sure how this all was. But in our own quiet ways, we need to have a song to sing and a story to tell. Number 5, it means that I am forgiven of every sin I have committed. What it means to be a Christian this morning, it means that I'm forgiven of every sin I've committed. Psalm 103, going back to the Old Testament, verse 12. And Psalms is just tremendous. We heard that this morning, isn't it? About the new birth. It's not mentioned. It doesn't come out. But the Psalms is tremendous as far as this discussion that we're having this morning. Confession, renewal, forgiveness. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. A Christian is forgiven of sin. And it's taken far away. As far as the east is from the west. Hebrews 9:26 says, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. Talking about Jesus. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice himself. And when Jesus Christ does something,
he does it right. It's gone. And to the Christian this morning, to each one of you who have experienced that, there's a freedom that comes when that happens that is tremendous. It's priceless to experience that release. John chapter 8, verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. What it means to be a Christian, to be free indeed. Is that your experience this morning? Number 6, it means I have a responsibility to my neighbor. Turn to Luke chapter 10. You might have asked the same question that the Good Samaritan asked in Luke chapter 10. Lord, who is my neighbor? Verse 29, and who is my neighbor? We have a responsibility to our neighbors. And you could say, who is my neighbor? Well, it's not just your next, the house, the next door down the street. It's not the one in your backyard or the one, the house touching your back field. And we know what this story goes on to say, how this certain man went from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves and was half dead. And there's three people that came by, but only one of them was a neighbor. So who is your neighbor this morning? Your neighbor may include someone that takes you out of your comfort zone. But what it means to be a Christian is that you have a responsibility to your neighbor. And we know what the Samaritan did, and we know how he went out of his way, and he crossed cultural barriers. And if there's anything that's relative for today, it's cultural barriers, because we have them. We have them. And we somehow like to think that ministering to our neighbor is something that should come kind of easy for us. But it may not be. Because the easy ones here went on. The priest should have taken the opportunity. It would have been easier. I don't know. Maybe I'm stretching that. But these were church people. They should have known. But it was a Samaritan that was the true neighbor. Number 7. It means I am my brother's and sister's keeper. It means that I am my brother's and sister's keeper. It means I have a responsibility to my brother and sister. And I guess this point just is kind of an extension of the last point. We think of it in a broad terms as being a neighbor, but we also have a responsibility in the brotherhood to be our brother's and sister's keeper. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And I know I talked about this just a couple weeks ago in a devotional about how we bear one another's burdens, our brothers and sisters' burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is that? It's the law of love. It's love for the brethren. And that's at the core of this being our brothers and sisters' keeper. If you have a love for your brother and sister, you're going to be there. You're going to be there. And not just in the financial, not just in the emotional, but also in the spiritual. You're going to be alert to things, to the needs, to the burdens. Another scripture I was going to read was Genesis 18. Maybe just turn there. We won't maybe read it, but if I'm referring to it, you can kind of look at the text yourself. Genesis 18.
story has always fascinated me. One reason is because verse 1 says, "And the Lord appeared unto him," that's Abraham, "in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day." This is one of these, I think it's called a theophany. It's the Lord was right there with a man, with a human being. This was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, if I understand it correctly. But Jesus Christ appeared unto Abraham. And then go to verse 16. We know what this is about. This is the concern about Sodom. And the men arose from thence. That's the angels, there was three men. That the other two rose from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I should do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him?" Well, we could keep on reading there. Go down to verse 23. "And Abraham drew near." Well, now I want the end of verse 22 as well. "The men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord." I get this picture of the two standing there. That's what it says. "And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" You could almost see him timidly bringing up this subject. Why was he bringing it up? Because there was a burden in there. There was a burden for this city and for Lot, who he knew was there. Do you think if there's 50, will you destroy it for 50? Verse 25, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And then he drops it in verse 28 to 45, and then in 29 to 40, and in verse 30 to 30. Verse 31, he drops it to 20. "Will you destroy it for 20? And then in verse 32, he drops it down to 10. The burden of Abraham for his brother. Intercession means personal involvement. What it means to be a Christian, are you willing to get personally involved with your brother or sister? Number 8, it means I need to daily choose to keep myself pure and unspotted. It means I need to daily choose to keep myself pure and unspotted. Going back to the rust situation again. So often if rust is not treated correctly, it comes back. Actually, it always will. It'll always come back. You get 95% of it and leave that 5%, that 5% will grow. You can cover it over with body filler, but that 5% will grow and it'll start pushing out, become a bubble, and the bubble will break, and then you see that rust again. I think of this often. As I'm working, it just takes a lot of energy to get rid of all that rust. But being a Christian means I need to daily choose to keep myself pure and unspotted. How is it when you wake up in the morning? God gave you another day. You purpose in your heart to keep yourself pure and unspotted, to keep that rust ground away. James 1:27, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." And that's one of the responsibilities. God takes away the rust in a sense when we allow him to cleanse us. God takes it away, but it's up to us to allow him to do that and to constantly get ourselves out of the way Well, I'm getting into my next point. I need to daily choose And then at the end of the day, do you look back over your day and you say, Lord, was there any part of my day that was not, that I allowed some sin to grow? That's a part of being a Christian. Number 9, it means that my life is open and honest before God and man. Going back to that vehicle with the light on the roof, we saw a little problem there. Dawson and I were working at this. Decided to take the light off. We are going to have to take the light off because there's some bubbles kind of peeking below the light a little bit. We took the light off and a lot of it was not noticeable until we started digging and scratching. And then there was holes that were rusted through all the way. You know, sometimes we think that we can hide some of that rust. We can hide some of those sins. But God sees it all. God sees every bit of it. Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, or that is not open, or is not visible in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And this makes us squirm sometimes, knowing that God knows it all. We can only see a part, but God sees it all. And a Christian who is open and honest before God and man knows that he must openly confront and confess his failures to be a Christian. Otherwise, the sin just continues to grow. It continues to spread farther and farther. But the key to getting rid of the sin is to get it opened up. So you can get your tools in there and get it cleaned up. Or so we can allow the blood of Jesus Christ and confess it and get it opened. So that it can be cured. Number 10. What it means to be a Christian. It means that heaven is awaiting me if I am faithful. Heaven is awaiting. Oh, joy unspeakable. Streets of gold. Meeting loved ones who are already there. That's what it means to be a Christian. We have something to look forward to. This old world will pass away. Why do we want this old world? Well, this is all we've ever known. But yet, this world is getting more and more unfriendly to Christians. More and more unfriendly to Christians. Bedrock Christian beliefs that we've understood to always be there are being turned upside down one after another. I'm talking about in the national scene now. And sometimes I often think about whether or how high the Tower of Babel is. And how high God is going to let it become. Because I believe there's another one being built. And I can't see how God will delay much longer. Same-sex marriages, disintegration of the family, cities full of lust and violence, undress and immodesty all around us. How can God allow it? How much higher will this tower go? NBC reported in July 2000 July 18, just a month ago. And I'm going to just be pretty blunt and honest with you about some of this. I don't know how much to say, but July 18, 2018, NBC reported on a new parenting trend. It's called Thebies, T-H-E-Y-B-I-E-S, Thebies. What's Thebies? Well, this is a designation certain upper-class white liberal parents have given to their children, whom they have decided to raise without gender labels. The NBC article focuses on Nate and Julia Sharp, parents of Zyler and Caden Sharp. The biological gender of Zyler and Caden has been hidden from everyone, including Zyler and Caden themselves. They do not know their own identities as boys or girls. Nate and Julia will keep that secret under lock and key until the children are old enough to decide for themselves. It's the world we live in. Ontario, Canada passed a law that allows government to intervene in family life if parents of children with gender identity issues don't accept their children's gender expression. It's known as Bill 89, also known as the Supporting Children, Youth and Families Act of 2017, was overwhelmingly passed in Ontario with a 63-23 vote just last year. And I could go more, but I think I'll stop with that. Bedrock Christian beliefs are under assault. This tower is growing. And I don't know how much longer till it affects us close. But don't be discouraged. This is the way the world is. It was corrupt before. It has always been corrupt. But we're not living for this world. God will judge the sin and the wickedness in his own time and in his own way. Don't be discouraged, brothers and sisters. Yet as these things move in to us, there's little trickles of the influences that come in to us and start to shake our faith and to gradually move us away. Or maybe a little rust starts to grow and we feed on it, and it grows a little more. Grows a little more until it finally takes us away. Are you an overcomer this morning? The question is, do you know what it means to be a Christian? Dear ones at Kirkwood, do you know what it means to be a Christian? What if there are some here this morning who do not know? Maybe you have never made that choice. So you don't know because you've never made the choice. Well, we've all been there. Those of us who have made the choice. Or maybe you have made the choice in the past but are slipping away. Maybe the corrosive influences of the world is starting some rust to grow underneath, and it's starting to bubble. Maybe a little bit is coming out, but maybe the ways of the world are corroding and eating away at your spiritual vitality. You know, this is so important. It's so important for me. I needed this message this morning. And I trust that we can allow the Holy Spirit to move us in a heavenward direction. What is the Spirit saying to you this morning? We don't normally give invitations on a Sunday morning, but I believe we will this morning. Number 629 is Just As I Am. The song leader can lead us in a verse of Just As I Am. If you want to publicly proclaim Jesus Christ this morning, proclaim that you are unworthy, or you are unable to fix the sin problem yourself, and you need help, stand to your feet. Or if you want to make that choice to be a Christian, stand to your feet. May we heed the Spirit as we sing one verse. Go ahead. Morning. Thank you for your interest in the things of the Word of God. May He continue to do a work in our lives. Thank you for your prayers, and let's kneel for prayer.